Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Wow. What a precious, precious time to be in God's house together and witness just that beautiful transformation of life in the Lord, hey? So good to see you all in church today. Lots more where that came from today. We're baptizing across our 11 and our 5 as well. More than 20 people across the course of today. Come on, praise God for those 20 transformed lives. So, so good. Well, is it all right if I jump straight into the word today? If we've never met before, I'm Chrissy, my husband Ken and I, we pastor here, and it's a great privilege to share God's word with you today. And I'm going to start with saying something strange. It's actually true. I've heard it said on occasion, not to my face, but behind my back, that sometimes some people on some occasions have actually said, we think Nations Church is a cult. I know, it's crazy. They don't say it to my face, but I've heard it said behind my back. And I have a laugh when I hear that because it's so, so, so far from true. It's so far from the truth. And I'll tell you why. Because cults are all to do with fear and control. They come around people with control and those sorts of things. But here at Nations Church, we actually celebrate the fact that we are free people. We are free people. We are free to come and we are free to go. Like, I'm free to come and I'm actually free to go. I'd have to give my 4 weeks notice, but I won't go. Don't read into that. I'm not going anywhere. But my point is, we're free people. My point is, we're free people. And this freedom is not actually a reflection of us. It's a reflection of God. Because God, when God created humanity, He created us. It was His divine wisdom. He created us, you and me, with a free will. God created us with a free will, and He will not violate the free will He's given us. So humanity, you and I, we are free to accept God, or we're free to reject God. Imagine that. It's up to us. It's our choice. These people that we've just witnessed being baptized, that was an act of their choice. They did that by their free will. I promise you, nobody's in the back room twisting their arm. There's been no coercion. No one's got a gun to their head. No one's brainwashed them. Hallelujah. Have you ever tried brainwashing an Aussie anyway? You are not going to get very far. We are a stubborn... No, I shouldn't speak that over our nation, but you know what I'm saying. It's not that easy. Nobody has done that. They've chosen this today. They've chosen this as an act of their free will. Why? Because they've encountered something, or maybe more importantly, they've encountered someone. The real Jesus, the real Jesus. And when they met Jesus, they actually said yes to Him. And in saying yes to Him, they've rendered these testimonies, these stories that they've shared with us here today in the baptismal font. They've told us of His life. They've told us of His power. They've told us of His ability to take them from darkness to light. I think it was Katie. She said, He saved me. That's real to her. That's real to her. Their lives have been changed because they met the real Jesus. One of the things that we always do here at Nations Church Service, maybe this is your first time, so you don't know this about us, but every single time we gather for service, just like this, at the end of the service, we always give an opportunity for people to make a choice about Jesus, to reject Him or accept Him, to say yes or to say no, to exercise that free will. And I'm going to do that today. Is that all right? I'm going to do that today. And even if it's not all right, I'm doing it anyway. I'm going to do it today. But before we go there, I want to say to you in this place, I don't know everybody here. I want to say, don't be too hasty to say no to Jesus. Before you say no, you better know what you're saying no to. And I've called this talk today. The question is, do you know? Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know? Do you know? Because this is the thing. I think some people have said no to Jesus, but they don't really know what they've said no to. Some people have said no to him, but they don't know what they said no to. Do you know, in the year 2000, Blockbuster Video said no to purchasing Netflix for $50 million. They said, streaming, what even is that? Nobody's heard of streaming. No one's going to take, streaming is not going to go anywhere. And they laughed at it. Do you know, today, Netflix is worth $200 billion. And where's Blockbuster Video? They are bankrupt. So the moral of the story is it's not a good idea to say no until you know. Am I right? Until you know. I think some people have done that with Jesus. They've said no to what they think they know, yeah, wow. But they don't really know. Yeah. What they've actually said no to, at least in some instances, it's maybe a poor or an inaccurate representation of who Jesus really is. Maybe people have said no to religion. Maybe people have said no to religious institutions. Maybe people have said no to some of the bad behaviors of the church or some of the terrible things that have been done around the world in the name of God. Maybe people have said no to that. Maybe people have said no to self-righteous people. Maybe people have said no to like stuffy people, stuck up people, exclusive groups. Maybe people have said no to cults. That's a good idea. Say no to cults. Say no to that. Maybe people have said no to hypocrites, people who professed to be Christians, but their behavior actually wasn't very Christian at all. Maybe people have said no to a presentation of an angry God who only seemed to care about following rules. And the message I really want to get across to us today is none of those things that I mentioned are actually Jesus. None of those things actually are an accurate representation of who he is and what he's like and the glorious things that he does. And frankly, if any of those things were an accurate representation of Jesus, I would say no to. Maybe you would as well. But those things are not who he is. Those things that I mentioned, they are actually broken representations. They are broken people in a broken world doing broken things. And isn't that all of us? You know, we find ourselves surrounded by broken people in a broken world doing broken things. That's just part and parcel of being human. But my message to us all today, before you say no to Jesus, make sure you really know Jesus. Because when people really know Jesus, often they don't say no. Often they say yes. I had the opportunity earlier this year to be a part of a Europe-wide initiative. I and a small team from Nations Church here, we went to Europe to share the real news of Jesus, the good news about him, with 1 million Europeans. It was an absolutely audacious undertaking. It involved 36 European cities across the whole continent where thousands of Christians, just like me, converged on those 36 cities. And we took it upon ourselves to hit the streets. And what we did on those streets was talk to strangers. We just approached strangers and talked to them and tell them about Jesus. Crazy, wild, what an undertaking. But we didn't hit the streets and tell them about religion. We didn't hit the streets and tell them about the church, but we told them about Jesus Christ. And we told them about how he is God. And we told them about how he is good. And we told them about how Jesus came from heaven to earth, not to condemn sinners, but to love and save sinners. And you can find all these facts in the Bible. And we told them how the greatest act of sacrificial love the earth has ever seen was when God, in the form of Jesus Christ, died a brutal death on a Roman cross. And when he rose back to life again, he promised eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and freedom to absolutely anyone who believes. And this is the message that we spoke on the streets, not about the church, not about religion, but just about Jesus. And let me tell you, the statistics were amazing. In a 2-week window, 80,000 individual conversations were had on the streets of these 36 cities about Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because we recorded them on an app. You can praise God for that. Now, I know it's a far way from 1 million, but it's still a pretty good effort, I would say. 80,000. And of those 80,000 conversations, about 10% of people said yes to Jesus. 1 in 10. Like right then and there, right on the streets, they were going about their day and then they heard about the real Jesus and they said yes. They prayed a prayer and invited him into their lives. And I had the privilege of telling one lady about Jesus actually in the front yard of her home in a suburb in Greater Dublin. She said yes to Jesus with me in her front yard. I kid you not, she was there in her pajamas. And the only reason she was there is because her cat had escaped. And it was at that point in her life, she got hijacked by a random Australian telling her about Jesus. Now, for some of you, that might be your worst nightmare. But for her, she wasn't repulsed, praise God. She actually was deeply curious. I would say she was even searching. I would say she was even desperate for hope. She was desperate for meaning in her life. And we had the most beautiful moment. We had the most powerful moment as we felt the very presence of God come into her front yard. And she got emotional as she felt his tangible love and presence wrap around her. And I was able to say, I don't believe this is a coincidence. I believe that God sees you. I believe that he hears you. And I want to tell you, he died and rose again for you. Do you want to receive him into your life? And she said, yes. And so we prayed. And it was glorious. And she hugged me and she said, I'm so glad I met you. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad my cat escaped. She actually said that. I never did see that cat. I hope she found that cat. Pray for the cat. But my point is, when people encounter the real Jesus, often they do not say no. Often they actually say yes, because Jesus is beautiful. Do I have an amen? Jesus is attractive. And all sorts of people find themselves saying yes when they encounter the real Jesus. Cynics even say yes, and skeptics even say yes, and people with hard hearts say yes, and rich people and poor people and people from every culture and LGBT people, every type of person says yes when they encounter the real and living Jesus. They say yes. And my question to you today is, do you know? Do you know the real Jesus? Do you know who he is and what he does? Like, do you know about him, or do you really know him? The answer to that question is actually critical. One way we get to know Jesus, we get to know him through the Bible. We especially get to know Jesus through the Gospels. The Gospels, if you're not familiar with the Bible, are the 4 books of the New Testament that deal exclusively with the time that Jesus walked the earth. The Gospels are the books that tell us about his birth. They tell us about his death and resurrection. And they tell us about all the events of his life, everything that happened. And these Gospels are really great to show us who Jesus is. They show us who he is. And it's in these pages that we get to know him. But more than getting to know him, we get to know God. Because Jesus is a perfect representation of God. Jesus said of himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So in seeing Jesus, in knowing what he is like, we know what God is like. That's why it's so important to read the Bible. It frames our understanding of who he is. And I'm going to take us to one particular account today that gives us such a great glimpse into who Jesus actually is. And I could have gone to so many different passages, so many different texts, but I pray that the Lord himself will actually touch you based on this scripture today. And it's found in John chapter 8. We're going to read from verses 1 through to 11. It says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered and he sat down and he taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her, this woman, in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? I mean, can we just pause here? Can you imagine this scene? This is like a hectic scene. Can you imagine what was going on here that day? Put yourself in the story and imagine what that poor woman would have been feeling like. Imagine the humiliation. Imagine the sense of vulnerability and shame and even fear in this situation. It's really horrible. We've got to put ourselves in the story. Let's keep on reading verse 6. They being the religious leaders, were trying to trap Jesus into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and he wrote in the dust with his finger. And they kept demanding an answer. So Jesus stood up again and said, all right. Like in other words, all right, go ahead and stone her. But just one condition. But let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and he wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away, didn't they? One by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and he said to the woman, hey, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Wow. Can we thank the Lord for that incredible account? It's such an amazing text. I love the way that Jesus disarms this hostile crowd. I love the way that Jesus saves this woman from such a dire situation. And in this account, we're presented with two very different attitudes towards the woman. First, there was this group of religious leaders, and they really represent dead religion. They really represent the rules that are devoid of any living relationship. All they wanted really to do was to stone this woman in order to prove a point. But then there was Jesus, a very different attitude. And what he did and how he treated her, it stood in stark contrast to their religion. See, religion did not care for her one bit, but the real Jesus stood by her in her mess, stood close to her. They did not see her. They did not care for her story. They were self-interested. They were mostly interested in actually trapping Jesus. They wanted to trap him. They wanted to be right. And to them, she was just a pawn in their agenda. She didn't matter. That was all she was to them. But the real Jesus, he saw her. He sees us. He saw her. He saw her humanity. He connected with her heart and situation. He did not reject her in her sin and her brokenness. He did not kick her when she was down. Rather, he came alongside. The religious leaders all stood around. They stood with their stones in hand. They stood hurling their accusations, but Jesus brought peace. Wasn't it one of the people being baptized today said he brought me peace? Jesus brings peace. His words, Jesus' words that day, whatever he wrote in the dirt, his words brought peace into the chaos, brought calm into that storm. They were all out for her blood, but Jesus protected her. Can you imagine the comfort she would have felt? Can you imagine the hope she would have felt? All because Jesus was there. All because of his presence. See, life was hostile for women in ancient Israel. I mean, the last time I checked, in order to commit the act of adultery, there needs to be a second person involved. Am I right? I'm like, but there's no mention of the offending man in this scenario. Like, life was actually hostile for women in the culture of her day. She actually was considered a second-class citizen. In the culture of the day, technically speaking, she had broken the law, and they did have a right to do what they were doing. But the thing about Jesus, and the thing this text shows us about him, he's not about the law, he's about mercy. Mercy. It doesn't mean that he denied her sin. He didn't treat her sin as if it didn't matter. The text just shows us that his forgiveness is greater. Do I have an amen? Amen. Jesus, get this. In that whole scenario that day, Jesus was the only sin-free one among them. So when he said, "Let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone," he was actually the only one that met the criteria. If anyone had a right to condemn her, if anyone had a right to throw a stone, it was Jesus. But instead of throwing that stone, he chose mercy. Mercy. He defended her in her brokenness. He restored her dignity. I want to tell you, this is the real Jesus. This is our God. And as the singers and musos, you come and join me again today. Maybe you find yourself here in church today, and maybe you find yourself just like this woman in the mess of your own life. Maybe we haven't been caught in the act of adultery. Don't put up hands. But if we're humble enough to admit it today, we're all like this woman in some ways. We are all like her in some ways. We all have areas of shame. We all have areas of pain. We all have areas where we're crippled on the inside. We've had things that we have done or things that were done to us that mess with us. We've got things in our lives and our stories that we're not proud of. There's things in our lives and our stories that make us feel vulnerable, that make us feel scared, that make us feel confused, that leave us wondering, what is life? And will I be okay? And into those spaces steps the real Jesus. If we want him, if we ask him, he steps the real Jesus. He doesn't reject us in those places. If we ask him, he will come near. And his presence brings us comfort. His presence brings us protection. His words bring peace into our chaos. He does not deny our sin. He does not deny your sin today. He does not deny mine. He does not deny our mistakes. Rather, our Jesus offers us mercy. He grants us forgiveness. He gives us a fresh start in him. When people encounter the real Jesus, often they don't say no. Often they say yes. Because this isn't dead religion. This is a real and living relationship with a real and loving God. Do I have an amen? Jesus is everything to me. All those things I listed, he's been all those things to me and more. He's been with me through all of life's highs and all of life's lows. He's brought me strength. He's brought me comfort. He's brought me confidence. He's brought me meaning and hope. He's brought me healing. All the times that I had a broken heart, through all the challenges and griefs and confusion of raising our disabled son, I would have never got through without Jesus. In fact, without Jesus, I would be a total mess. But praise be to God, I'm not a total mess. I'm full of his life. I'm full of his love. My testimony is he has turned my ashes into beauty. He has turned my sadness into dancing, my sadness into joy. That's just how good Jesus is. And what he's done for me, he can do it for you too. What he's done for the people today, he can do it for you too. So my question again to you in the room, or even if you're watching online, do you know Jesus? And at this point of the sermon, I'm just going to ask everybody all over the building to close your eyes. I want you to consider the state of your own heart. I want you to consider the state of your own state with Jesus. I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment, like I said at the beginning, to exercise your own free will, to accept Jesus or to say no. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus, but today you're thinking that you would like to know him. I'm speaking to you. Or maybe you're here as I've been preaching, you've been thinking to yourself, I think I know about him, but I don't really know him. I don't know him the way she's talking about. I'm speaking to you too. Or maybe you're here and you've said no, but you realize now maybe what you've said no to has been an inaccurate representation of who Jesus is. If you fall into any of those categories, I want to give you an opportunity today, not to say no, but to say yes to the beautiful Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is that all of us, 100% of us, are sinners. The Bible says we've all sinned and we've all gone our own way. We've all fallen short of God's holy standard. And I'm sure you're a very good person, but even the best of us can't meet God's righteous standard on our own. We've all lied, we've all cheated, we've all done things to hurt others, whether we meant to or whether we didn't, it doesn't matter. We all have sin in our lives, but the good news is that God so loved the world. He so loves you. He so loved me that he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus from heaven to earth. Jesus, his perfect son, he sent him from heaven to earth to pay the penalty of sin, to deal with the sin problem. When Jesus, the Son of God, died that brutal death on that Roman cross, he took upon his body your sin and mine. When he died and rose again, that was it. He paid the price. Once and for all time, the ultimate penalty for our sin. And he made a way for people just like you and me to be forgiven from our sin, to be restored back into a right relationship with God, to know a real and living and loving God. He did it because he loves us. He did it. He endured the cross on the off chance that you would say yes to him, just like he's already said yes to you. And to say yes to Jesus is as simple as believing. As simple as saying, yes, I believe. You are who you said you are, and I make a choice. I exercise my free will to open up my heart to you and to invite you in.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.